enjoying the winter?
No, it's cold, and you know, I'd rather not be cold. But I don't like it.
It's all right.
Just use it while it's short. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for December 11th, 2013. Is that right? I was just guessing.
Is it the 11th? My God.
Oh, good.
Wait, what year did you say?
2013.
Okay.
I think.
I don't remember now.
Nah, I can't be sure. Can't make any promises. Hi, everybody. This is me, Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, AJ. Say hi.
Hi.
I don't know why I have to tell you to say hi after introducing you.
I don't know. What do you do?
So, welcome to the show, everybody. We got some things to talk about. We have the VGX stuff, which I didn't actually watch.
No, and I feel like we're better people for it.
Right. Well, that'll be a whole thing we'll get into in a second here. But we got that. There's some other news regarding Fallout 4.
Rumor.
We can talk about, there's some Wii U sales stuff to talk about, more like predictions of it. But then after that, we have some new games to play. I've been playing Dead Rising 3. I finally got into Spelunky. What have you been playing? Nothing off the top of your head, I see. All right, then. Well,
Sonic Lost Worlds on the 3DS.
I do want to hear about that. Or I guess I'm carrying this episode, as usual. Okay, so let's get into the VGX, then. And just, what do you think of, like, their new format change? I don't...
Well, again, we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It just...
Well, I've seen bits of it. And it was just, it was Jeff Keighley and some other guy,
Joel, right? Joel McHale.
Kind of, like, talking over each other a lot. And, like, both of them not really seeming to... Well, at least Joel McHale seeming to not really want to be there a whole lot.
It's sad, because the impression I get from, like, people on Twitter who know Jeff Keighley, they all like Jeff Keighley. And they say he tries really hard. He's just... The sad truth of the matter is he works for Spike TV.
Well...
Well, like, you saw... Okay, so, yeah. So for those who don't know, what they did, part of their whole rebranding with the VGX thing... They did it as a 3-hour, unedited, live web broadcast Saturday evening. They then cut it down to an hour to show on Spike TV Monday night. So they were trying to appeal to the gamer audience, like the hardcore gamer audience, with the live, unedited webcast. They said that they were answering all the complaints, you know, listening to all the feedback. I just feel like the biggest complaint is that it's on Spike TV.
See, you sound for it. I don't understand what you... What,
because...
What is the... I understand Spike TV is a bro channel, but I mean, is that everything that was...
Because here's what I got from it. Joel McHale does the same thing every host of that show does. They tell a bunch of jokes that make fun of video gamers for being a bunch of fat nerds living in the basement. And it's a show for those people.
Right.
Why are you making fun of them? Jeff Cannata had a very good tweet. He said, the goal should not be to be cool. It should be to be classy.
Yeah, but here's the unfortunate truth. AJ, no one's going to watch a classy video game
show. But are people watching this one?
It's the 7th, 8th one they've done. Somebody's watching it.
But the whole thing, too, and this is my other problem, and why I don't feel like I missed anything, it's just a big commercial.
Guess what everybody looks forward to, AJ, and talks about after.
Well, right.
You think I'm leading off with who won Game of the Year at VGX?
Exactly. No one cares about the awards. They want to see what trailers come out. I'm just saying, why even have an award show then? Why not just have some kind of end of the year, party where we're just showing trailers?
It makes sense to do that around an awards. Look, I defended the VGA a couple times in the past as not being the, like, cancer-giving...
It's not like the end of humanity. I just feel like...
But no,
it's just a wasted opportunity.
Just... What would you rather have? What they did this year, or, like, what they did, like, a year or two ago?
Well, that's the thing. Frankly, it doesn't sound like it was that different, just longer.
Kind of sounds like it was more boring to me.
Yeah, because it was so long.
And I'm sorry, but if you're going to have an award show... I kind of want it to look a little bit like an award show.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The classy thing. Make it look like the Academy Awards.
Well, you keep saying that, AJ. And there's not going to be an Academy Awards for video games. There's going to be a People Music Award.
Okay, hell, yeah. Well, even that's better than...
What was the last time you saw a People Music Award show?
I don't care about popular music.
I know, missing my point is what I'm saying. I'm just saying...
I understand that, but I'm also saying at the, like, VMAs, they don't have a host... who has nothing to do with music come out and make fun of people who listen to music the whole night.
Yeah, they well, because it's... I'll tell you why, and... Well, what do they do at the Oscars? What are all the jokes about? It's making fun of the people of those people. They're, you don't have a. They're not going to make fun of video game stars.
Okay, you know how that's different. Right. That's the difference between you making fun of me about.
I understand. I'm just saying,
and a, like a bully.
I understand
making fun
of me. I'm just saying that's why, because you have to make jokes about something, and yeah, what are they going to make jokes about?
And again, you're going to shoot me down right away for saying because they never do this. But like, why can't like. Tim Schafer hosted one year.
Wow.
I mean, someone who's actually in the industry who
Tim
can Schafer, carry a show.
I don't think Tim Schafer can carry
it. He could do it.
No, he couldn't.
Sure he could.
Tim Schafer is not as dynamic a person on the camera as some people make him out to be.
Or even at least get, like, an actor who has something to do. Like,
I don't know.
Get Nolan North to host it. I don't know.
Like I said, like, look. The VGAs are what they are. Well, I guess they aren't anymore. I guess they got changed. I almost felt like it was kind of getting better as an award show. I mean, it was so stupid. You saw people humping people on stage and whatnot. But it seemed like it was getting there. But I don't like this. I mean, I want it to look like an award show. I want there to be an audience. I want a stage. I want presenters. I want, you know, people handing out awards. Not a bunch of people accepting an award on, you know, fucking recorded video. I don't know. It just seems stupid and kind of cheap to me. And I think if you're going to do that, then I don't get the point of it.
Right.
I can get the point of trying to make a video game award show. And I understand also why they try to make it, you know, maybe hip's not the word, nobody likes that word, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we talk about demographics, and, you know, I guess a lot of people don't want to hear it, but primarily a lot of people who are going to watch a video game award show are still, you know, guys in their 20s, maybe 30s. Not necessarily people who are going to watch, like, you know, the Oscars or the, what, Golden Globes or the... All that stuff. I don't know. Look, I mean, like I'm saying, and you know, people say, "Well, we should have a Academy Awards or stuff." Don't we? Isn't there something like that, right?
The GDC Awards are probably the closest, which Tim Schafer hosted one year.
Well, yeah. So we have that. And why do you think no one broadcasts on TV?
Because they don't have a distribution deal for it.
Why don't they have the distribution? Because no one would really watch it. Because some people would watch it. We would watch it. I understand, but not that many people would. Well, maybe once things get, you know, big, and then. There's so many things wrong with it, but let's just talk about like what was unveiled because I'm tired of talking about the show itself. Okay. No one keeps up to it. Look, by the way, just because like I was on the pause, I do not like the VGX or whatever. I'm just some people.
Does the X actually even stand for anything?
I don't know. But when I see people like get really worked up about it, I'm like, yeah, let it go. Who cares? But okay. What do I want to talk about?
You got a list of stuff.
Well, I know that they're releasing a next-gen version of Tomb Raider. Do you think it's like the first in a long line of this stuff happening?
It's possible. I mean, you had so many games in the last 2 years in particular that came out for the last-gen consoles. Oh, that's weird. That also had far superior graphically PC versions, like
right.
Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So it seems like a fairly simple thing for them to do, so why not?
And I know the other one that just got announced, like, today, actually, is Rayman Legends is getting next-gen ports, which is interesting. You wonder how much better that game could look.
They claim it will.
So there's that. Telltale had the most stuff going on, because they announced, first off, a Borderlands game, which nobody really
awesome.
Saw coming.
That's such a cool idea. I like that concept of taking an established and very well-liked world in a video game
franchise.
And putting it on a completely different genre.
Yeah, it's kind of neat to see, like, because we always see them kind of work with, like, you know, film or TV franchises or comic franchises. It's cool to see them just work with a video game franchise that, you know, not one that's, like, been an adventure game before, like, Sam & Max or Monkey Island.
Yeah, like, taking a game and applying it to a different genre. But, like,
yeah.
It's not like Gearbox is going to try to make an adventure game. They're smart. They said, Telltale, you make good adventure games. Here's our IP.
It's not like...
Let's work together.
It's like the time Blizzard tried to make an adventure game for
Warcraft.
Right, right. So they're also doing the Game of Thrones games that everybody thought they'd be doing.
Yeah, which is... You know, it's worth mentioning, too, is in collaboration with HBO.
Right.
So it's right off the shell.
Doesn't it seem like they're really busy? Because Fables is still going on. There's only one episode of that, right?
So far, yeah. The next one comes out end of this month, I think. And Walking Dead Season 2 launches on the 17th.
So, yeah, they seem really, really busy.
They must be doing pretty
well
over there.
They're doing really cool. The Walking Dead things did well. You kind of get the impression that, like, they really ballooned themselves up because that did really well.
I wonder if maybe with Walking Dead they finally got a good technology base down. Because they struggled for so long. Like, you know, Back to the Future went, like, it had a stylized look to it, but,
well, like, Back to the Future still looked like all those Telltale games.
Right, and then, you know, Jurassic Park was an unmitigated disaster in attempting realism, and they finally found that, like, kind of cel-shaded style that's really working for them, and...
Was there, like, a screenshot for the Game of Thrones game? Because
I don't think so. I think there was just the logo.
I don't think you can get away with that on the... You can get away with it on Borderlands and, you know, for that Fable thing, obviously.
I'm not sure. I hadn't really considered that.
But what are you going to do for Game of Thrones?
Maybe you can try to get away with doing it, like, really stylized.
Something. Looking. Well, because it's not really based off the book, like... It's based off the show, right?
Right.
It's not
like so you know what that looks like already.
Right, so it's not like the Walking Dead thing where it's like, well, this isn't really based off the TV shows.
It's the comic yeah.
source material, right, so...
Yeah, it's true.
It's a little different. So, yeah, Telltale's busy. excuse me. The Joe Danger guys, and everyone's freaking out about this.
Yeah, this looks cool.
Called No Man's Sky, which is, it's really, everyone's really excited because it's like the game that's finally doing the procedural generated, like, take off from one planet, go through the atmosphere, go through space, like, land somewhere else.
Yeah, it was, what's that game that guy's, like, made four of? Oh, Battle Cruiser Millennium. Is that what I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
I think that's right. It's like this one guy's been trying for years to basically make this game where you can go from space and land on a planet and explore right. the planet and, like, everything seamless. And, like, four people have pulled it off.
Yeah. The only thing, like, well, everybody's super stoked about it just because of the concept, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the trailer, there's a lot more, like, kind of combat stuff. Like, when you see, like, the person walk around, it looks like a first-person shooter.
Right.
Like, I don't know how... I wonder if that's going to kind of not jive so well with... You know, I mean, if you can explore planets, I want to go exploring. I can understand why you would need to be armed sometimes, but I hope it just doesn't turn into, like,
every planet. Land on this planet and clear out this dungeon. Yeah,
go to this planet and look at all these things that want to kill you, you know? I don't want that.
No,
but, I mean, that's the thing, though. It's like, how do you make exploring in itself inherently fun? There's usually got to be a trick to it.
Yeah, and especially if you're going to be dealing with, like, intelligent alien species who are maybe a little more primitive.
Like, are there going to be intelligent alien species?
And we don't know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. There's so much unknown about this, and I feel like some people are already, like, ready to, like, call this one of the
best. Well, I'm choosing in my head to picture it as a first-person real-time FTL, which I'm totally cool with.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be cool, but, like I said, we had no idea what's going on, necessarily.
But the technology is cool, even down to the part just, like, he's flying through the asteroid field, chasing somebody, and an asteroid goes to cut him off, so he just blasts through it. That's awesome.
So, Reggie was there to make a Nintendo announcement that he was touting earlier in the week, which just amounted to Cranky Kong being a playable character in a Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, which, I mean, is cool.
Yeah, but, like...
That shouldn't be an announcement.
That's not the kind of thing you hype up for, like, a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's just, like, something
and
where,
then,
like...
when the world is watching on VGX, you're like, yeah,
yeah, it should just be a thing where it's like, hey, yeah, by the way, I mean,
like, put that on Twitter one day.
Right. I mean... God, they randomly unveil Smash Brothers characters, which people probably care way more about. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's cool, because it's like, you know, he's never been playable in one of the Donkey Kong Country games. I guess he kind of does, like, a Scrooge McDuck thing.
Like bouncing on the cane?
Yeah, like bouncing.
Right.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to have, but why, like, was that your big build-up?
Especially when you know Nintendo could probably use a big game reveal. I guess, you know, because every time this happens, people are like, oh, they're going to finally show off Zelda, or is it going to be a new Metroid? And
yeah, it never is.
It's never. Yeah, those announcements, I mean, people are like, well, they'll just do their Nintendo Directs. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I mean, if you have everyone's attention.
Yeah, right. On TV, presumably. Titanfall mechs were shown.
Yeah, there's other stuff. The only other, like, thing that I thought was interesting was Broken Age cast Elijah Wood as the voice of, like, the main... male character.
Yep.
Which is cool. You wonder how much of, like, the Kickstarter money had to go towards that. Didn't they say they were, like, going over budget anyways?
Yeah.
So how do they afford to get a big
Maybe someone's investing in it now. Maybe. Who knows?
So that whole thing's interesting.
That was, like, 2 years ago now, wasn't it?
No.
How long was that Kickstarter?
I guess it was a while ago. I don't know if it was 2 years.
It's been a while.
Maybe, I don't know, like, two, though. Maybe more like
one. I'm going to look this up real quick.
Well, I was about to... We're done with the VGX thing, so I kind of need your attention.
I'm listening.
Well, I need you to engage with me.
I'll engage.
Okay, well, so Fallout 4, Kotaku got a hold of documents. So, no, let's back up a little bit here, because there was a big hoax very recently. Like, somebody made this website called, like, I forget, it was like the Survivors, and then some number, and it was like a countdown clock, and everybody thought it was a Fallout 4 thing, and it had all these, like, little hidden meanings and stuff. And, of course, when it was just a hoax and all this stuff, and everyone's mad.
Yeah.
But, Kotaku got a hold of stuff that's almost like kind of like for a casting call, I think, for voice actors.
Yeah.
And It never says the words Fallout, but there's so many references into it. Like
you can connect the dots.
And right. Well, I mean, like
it's I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. Right. I mean, if it ever gets back to that person, he's ostracized.
Because I mean, it starts off with like the famous like war never changes and going into that whole thing. And there's like other references to like some factions. So I mean, all we really know about it is that it's going to be in Massachusetts, like the Boston area, which was a rumor before, so that makes sense. You think they're going to like kind of hurry up and announce this thing now?
I'd be fine with that. I want to see what next-gen Bethesda games look like.
Right, and they're probably still going to wait till E3.
I mean, do you think... I wonder what they'll do. If they'll basically just take the Skyrim engine and just have it, running on the Xbox One and the PS4 so it looks really good, or if a new engine.
No, they only use that one engine for one game.
Yeah, they'll probably save the new engine for the next Elder Scrolls.
If that even. Well,
oh, sure. It seems like that. Seems like that's been the pattern.
But, people don't... People don't necessarily make new engines a whole lot as much anymore, AJ. I mean, I think,
I feel like a generational shift. That's not true at all.
Well, we had Frostbite 4.
We have Frostbite, we have Ignition, CryEngine 3, we have Unreal Engine 3.
People make new engines, AJ, but I'm saying those people just made that engine and they got one game out of it so far.
Yeah, well, now they're going to get two.
Yeah, I can't see in this modern climate investing that much money in an engine and making two games with it. Maybe they'll get a... something to make like another Fallout game like they did.
Oh yeah, I mean, but like I said, that's basically what they did before. They've always made a new engine for every Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah, but before AJ, there was 6 years between every Elder Scrolls game. Do you think it's gonna be 6 years between Skyrim and the next one? I don't. Do you?
Well, when do you think Fallout 4 comes out? You don't think end of 2014? Do you?
No, probably 2015.
Okay, and then how long would it take after that for a new Elder Scrolls?
So 2017 would be next Elder Scrolls.
And when did Skyrim come out?
2011.
So how many years is that?
Four. Oh, no, it's six. That's funny.
What do you know?
The math works out. Well, okay.
I just proved my point. Thank you.
I still don't think they're going to make a new engine. I think they announced a release date for Elder Scrolls Online. It was like March.
It's April, I thought.
Something like
April for PC and June for the console.
It sounded kind of early to me.
No, that's what they kind of always said, spring of 2014.
I guess I'm not basing that off of facts, but maybe out of other things I can't talk about. But it seems early to me.
Based on some screenshots that I've seen publicly released on the internet.
Yeah. It seems early. Let's not dwell on that too much more. So Fallout 4 is coming. I guess we all knew it was, but nice to hear something about it, even if it is unofficial.
Loves me some Fallout 3.
Unofficial.
Hey, real quick aside,
yeah.
March 13th, 2012 is when the funding was successfully completed for Double Fine Adventure, now Broken Age.
2012, so it's been like a year and a half. Weird.
It's going to be 2 years in March.
Can't believe.
Like, it'll be 2 years by the time that first part of the game comes out.
I mean, I guess that's how long a game. I mean, that's not a ridiculous time
frame. Yeah, but
it's just like, that's what happens.
It's that whole argument, though. Like, we were sold on, like, this fun, smaller adventure game that harkens back to the good old days, and it's turned into this big thing now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, if the game's good, all will be forgiven. That's kind of the issue now.
It's going to be kind of nice when, like, someday, I'm going to get all these free games.
Right, right.
From all these Kickstarters I backed a year and a half ago. I'm still waiting for Wasteland 2.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the multiplayer version of that, there's that Banner Saga.
Banner Saga, Republic.
Republic. Oh, my God, I forgot about Republic. That's changed so many times. What's the one from the guys who made the Neverhood? The claymation thing.
Did that get funded?
Yeah, that's happening. That's a thing. Armacrog. That's it. Two Guys Space Adventure, which is like a spiritual successor to Roger Wilco.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to get all kinds of free games.
Which one of those like actually seemed to happen in a very timely manner was that Leisure Suit Larry remake of all
things? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that one seemed to really like, but, they did it. Okay, so I forget, there was like an analyst firm who was like, who predicts like the lifetime... What, an analyst?
Yeah.
Okay, what'd I say?
Well, you said analyst. It's analyst or...
Analyst.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, look, they're saying that the Wii U is... They lowered their projections for, like, lifetime sales. It said 25 million lifetime. For comparison, the Wii was about, like, 100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds bad, but as other people have pointed out, GameCube was 22 million, and Xbox, the original one, was 24 million. And we know, for more context, PlayStation 3 and Xbox were both right around 80 million. So, I mean... There's this thing where it's like, yeah, they're not going to compete with those other people, and it's bad. But there's also this thing where it's like, it's not like the doomsday Nintendo's dead scenario.
Yeah, but it's really hard to step back at all, A, and step back that far.
That's exactly what happened before. From Super Nintendo to 640 GameCube. They stepped back.
How much? But how much? By 75%? Oh, no,
the market wasn't as big, I guess. But, yeah. I mean, still, it was the same thing. I mean, market share-wise, it's probably exactly the same when you think about it, going from what they owned with... I mean, first off, then in NES, they owned the market, then going to...
So you're saying that this next Nintendo system will
rule them all? Well, who knows? But, I mean, these things rebound in weird ways. I'm just saying that the idea that somehow they're... Like, the Wii U's only going to be around for, like, another year, or that Nintendo is somehow going to have to, start making third party. Like, remember the time I got really mad at you because, like, you were like, this was going to be Nintendo's last system? This is what I mean. Like, yeah, the Wii U's not going to do great, but I mean, you know, it's not like history has, like, considered the GameCube and Xbox giant flops. You know, they weren't, like, the hottest thing ever, and of course they just got crushed by PlayStation 2, which I still think is the best-selling system ever.
Probably, sure. I'm not positive.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Right. So that's my only point. It's not great. And obviously, like, Wii U, it sucks that they reverted back to that GameCube, sort of. Because, I mean, it's like, that's what the number is. 22, 25 million is what happens when you get just the Nintendo hardcore fanboys. And it kind of sucks, but that's like, Nintendo's sort of bright thing, at least for, like, if you're, like, an investor, is, hey, you always have those 25 million guys to back up on.
And one thing,
so even when it is, like, a massive fumble like the Wii U is...
The other thing you have to kind of remember, too, is for Nintendo. Look, guys, I'm going to say something positive here. With Sony and Microsoft, yeah, like, they may sell a lot of consoles, but you have Sony TVs not selling that good, and Windows 8 not selling through that well.
What's Nintendo's one other big product?
Nothing.
No, the 3DS.
Oh, right, video
which
games.
Which does really well, yeah. And the games, which still sell well.
Like, so, yeah, they don't have the overhead, I guess, that the other companies do. So, it's possible, yeah, that they are financially solvent, even with a 25 million sell-through rate through the lifetime of the system.
Right.
They don't have to hit the same numbers, because they don't have to pay for a music division and, you know, Spider-Man movies.
Too bad. I thought it should make Spider-Man.
Although, I gotta say, just again, to go to the devil's advocate now, every time I ever read someone's defense on, like, why Nintendo should not become just a third-party software developer, to me, it reads like a reason why they should.
Like what?
Someone was saying on Twitter or Google Plus somewhere, I forget where or who it was, it's like, all you people who think Nintendo should just make hardware, yeah, they make all these gimmicks, but then when they just get down and make a game like New Super Mario 3D World or whatever, it's amazing. And I'm like, so you're saying they should stop making hardware and just make games? Like, I don't get
but
it.
But I mean, I know.
It's not a sentiment exactly.
It's like this revisionist history where, like, Nintendo always makes bad hardware now. Like, we established that 3DS is great, the DS was great, the Wii... You know, it was like there were some good things. Obviously, it was a success, and I'm not talking about monetarily, but it did some interesting things, especially with the Plus. You know, it kind of did change the industry, at least for a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
Mike, look, you got a camera on top of your TV now.
I do have a cam.
You have Nintendo to thank for that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's like the idea that, like, Nintendo sucks at hardware forever. It's a little ridiculous. So, anyways, we can move on from this, I guess.
Speaking of, you have a camera on top of your TV now.
It was my birthday, and my family got me an Xbox One.
Yay!
I will tell you this. I really like the voice command stuff with the Kinect.
See?
But why do I have to have that camera?
It's got a microphone in it, man.
Why don't I just have a microphone? The only thing the camera has done so far is recognize my face and log me in, which is nice.
We have to try this Skype later. I want to try it. Did you log into Skype on your Xbox? We should do it.
But I mean, like, nothing with the camera in any of the games I played so far. Like, just nothing. It's amazing that on launch, like, nothing is, like, trying to sell you on that. I guess what, there's Kinect, like, preseason.
Well, there's that. There's, I mean, you know, when you're, I've done it once, it was kind of fun. When you do your video clips, you could attach video footage of yourself narrating it, like a picture-in-picture.
I get it.
Eventually, you'll get the Twitch streaming.
What I'm saying is, I like, the voice thing is, like, a big deal to me. I like that.
Yeah.
The rest of the Kinect is not. At all. That's all I mean.
Just pretend it's a big room-filling microphone.
Obviously,
looking at you.
Also, I seen that my dog has turned it on by sniffing it, so that's fun.
Xbox, turn off. Pause for a second. Yes. If this works, I'm going to be very impressed because the TV's not on.
Yeah, I don't. Well, there it goes.
Ha! That's awesome. Come on. Well, now that's cool.
It's cool, but I mean, there still is like one out of 5,000 that won't work. I couldn't turn it on actually today, and it was because I guess it updated itself. So I had to turn it on manually for it to like.
Yeah, that's goofy. So yeah, mine didn't get it yet, but yeah, it's if you're in that slow power, like waiting to hear the you know what on command, which I have to be careful about now. Right. It like downloads that and then just completely powers down. I don't understand what the benefit of that is. Like, why can't it just be when I turn it on next? It's like, hey, we downloaded this update. Should we install it? It'll involve me powering down. Like, yeah, good. Because I feel like that's potentially confusing. Like, if you didn't know that, if you don't follow Major Nelson on Twitter, you're like, what the hell? This thing's not working.
So, I mean, obviously, we talked about first expressions of the Xbox One. I already played yours a lot. But you also got me Dead Rising 3 to play, which I'm actually surprisingly having a lot of fun with. I'm surprised how much I'm enjoying it. I had very limited experience with the games before. I played, like, the Dead Rising 1 demo, basically. Nothing of 2. So, you know, it is like an open-world zombie game. It's not the greatest graphical showpiece for the system, but one of the things it does well
is having a shit ton of zombies on the screen.
Right, and surprisingly, the face models are really good-looking for some reason.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. I think those look good for whatever reason.
But like, the bodies feel a little lower poly count.
Yeah, like, the environments, and it's not
maybe
right.
Maybe they pick their battles in a smart way.
Well, and it's not 60 frames per second, which is my big thing. I want 60 frames per second games badly. But it is actually pretty fun. Like the whole thing with combining, you always find these blueprints, and like the world is filled with like these things to find, which is always kind of fun. It's like a blueprint, and it teaches you how to combine two items into like a much better weapon. Then you kind of just like go around and wreck zombies. And it doesn't seem like there's like that many main missions really. So you know, there's kind of like a lot of incentive to kind of go around and make your own fun. And there's like a skill tree progression, which I don't think was in the other ones. So it's cool. It's like when you get combos going, you can really rack up those points and you do all the side stuff and all that stuff.
Someday, I'm very curious to see, like you know, months from now when this goes on sale, to get a copy for myself so we could try the co-op. Because apparently that's... Mm-hmm. I could see the like potential for that, having a big open world of zombies.
Like, you get AI help right now. It's just kind of annoying to me.
Because you have to babysit them.
Yeah, you have to there's like, oh, I'll fight
this guy has
place.
No health. There's like some potato chips.
You
it's like,
pick
them
up
you?
And like, give it to him.
Here. Right. Oh, like, thank you.
It's like, and I mean, it's not like they're helping that much where it's like worth it. I mean, if you're going to kill zombies, you probably have a weapon that'll, you know, kill like 10 of them in one swing. It's like you need this one guy with like this crowbar who's like,
Have you done the things yet where you like customize a vehicle?
Yeah, we don't customize vehicles. It's just like the same thing with the weapons, really, combine two vehicles, which is pretty cool.
So you actually combine the vehicles themselves?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were like combining items onto
no.
the.
Like, I combined like a street cleaner with like. It was like something silly,
like a Zamboni or something. What is that? That clip you uploaded?
I didn't upload a clip. It saved it off for automatically. I think.
Oh, I was wondering about that because there's this clip you put up where you were like running over a bunch of zombies in like a hit and run mission.
Yeah.
And then you just got stuck, and I'm like, why did you upload this video of you being stuck on a wall? But then like it exploded, and your guys went flying through the air.
I got an achievement right when before that happened. I think that's why it recorded. Where did you even see it at? Just on
it
Xbox?
Was in the activity feed because I was
that's funny.
I was doing something that I was like saving a replay or something. So I was like, oh, snap, activity. Oh, Mike uploaded a video. Let's see what it is.
I'll tell you what else. There's like two. I've had like two like boss fights so far, and the boss fights have actually been kind of.
I've heard that they're kind of goofy.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah, they're kind of neat. Like, yeah, I mean, I want to like you know spoil them, but surprisingly, like the game has kind of simple combat mechanics, but it like kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
In its own way. There's other things. There's, like, goofy voice commands. You can, like during the boss fights, you can, like, yell at the guy, you're crazy. It, like, stuns him for a second for whatever reason. You can yell at zombies, like, come to you, and they'll kind of wobble their way over and whatnot. One thing, though, like, there is an overall time limit to, like, beat the main story. And it's not very clear exactly how long it is, because it's, like, 5 days. I'm like, well, how long is a day? Is it literally 24 hours of gameplay time? Like, I don't think so. But I'm not sure. And, like, just so, like, I'm doing a lot of story missions just to do them, and, like, really not playing a whole lot. I'm, like, more than, at least according, because, like, at the bottom it says, you know, it has, like, 7 chapters laid out, and, like, I just beat, like, chapter 3 or 4, and it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of story chapters at all.
I was going to say, are you sure that it's not just, like, when you move to a chapter that
no, it's definitely is a time. No, it definitely is a time progression.
Okay.
Because I read about it to try to figure it out a little bit, and you can fail the game if you just don't do everything in time. Like the thing is, like, the city's going to get nuked at the end of that countdown, so you need to get out. So it's just like, you know, I'm already not a huge fan of a, like an overall time limit on a game, but like with it being so kind of undefined, especially in a game where these open world games, like I really like kind of going around, doing the side missions and finding collectibles and that stuff. That's one thing too. Like I like about it, like most of, all the collectibles are, you know, like give you a new blueprint or gives you at least experience points. That's the kind of one problem with Assassin's Creed. Like I like getting the collectibles, and then like I kind of think about it, I'm like, well, this isn't really for shit, is it?
Like the Animus fragments.
Yeah, I'm collecting all those. I'm like,
what are these for?
Like, what happens when I get all these?
You probably unlock some, you know, like weird video that reveals the truth.
Man, those things were never very truthy. It's probably like I get an achievement. And it's almost like maybe the Assassin's... like, you don't want the Assassin's Creed games to have a skill progression, because I don't know how that would fit there, but... Yeah. It's kind of that stuff is always kind of nice in open world games, though. Like, it works very well in Crackdown and Gravity Rush, because, you know, when you do something, then you get a reward. But no, I'm surprised. I'm really enjoying Dead Rising 3. It's fun stuff. I also got Spelunky was like on sale for PlayStation Vita.
I'm gonna get that too.
It's like $3 something.
$3.25.
And everyone goes on about this game.
Live up to the hype.
I haven't played a lot to know that, but it's definitely fun and it's cool because it's like a game you kind of play in chunks. So it's almost kind of like Rogue Legacy in that it's a 2D side-scrolling roguelike kind of, where it's like you're going through this cave and there's different levels and they're procedurally they're randomly generated levels and every time you die you just have to start over. Difference is where Rogue Legacy kind of like that cool thing where you kept the money you earned at least, you can always buy upgrades. Yeah. So even when you didn't get very far, you only did a little bit, you always kind of like
something. Yeah.
There's nothing like that here. You're basically you're getting experience, like not points, like literal experience. You know, so you're getting better at it.
Does the map change every time you die?
Yeah. Okay. Every time. And
sounds hardcore.
Yeah, and the weird thing, at one point I got so far that, like, there was this guy who's like, give me a bomb, and I can, like, make a shortcut from, like, that main temple area. And I did that, and he didn't make the shortcut. So I don't know if I got to, like, give him more than one bomb. I got to do it a few times.
Was he just there to fool you?
I don't think so. I mean, it's cool. Like, it's certainly neat, certainly fun.
Worth the $3 and change.
Yeah, it's definitely worth $3 and whatever the hell.
That's good.
The other thing, I got the DLC for Phoenix Wright.
Where you defend a killer whale. Yes. I think that's hilarious.
It is fantastic. I mean, it's cool because it's like, it's just a full-blown case. I mean, with as much production value as like the other ones, like it has anime cutscenes. It actually has more anime cutscenes.
I bet they finished this before the game was done and withheld it.
Well, see, like, but that, you can't really say that because we have a good example of how long and how many cases the other Phoenix Wright games have. And that's what the other one had, so,
right.
You know, pay $5 and get this, like, other chapter. And it's cool, it's like, it doesn't feed into the overall narrative at all. It's very much its own standalone thing. So it's kind
of... maybe they've created, like, a Phoenix Wright platform now. Would you be cool with that? Like, if every 3 months there was just another case for $5? I would definitely like
it. The only thing you could argue against is that usually in the Phoenix Wright games, the way it works is like...
They all kind of tie together or something.
Usually not so much. There's always like two in the middle that aren't tied in as much. But usually like the first case and like the last couple cases and sometimes something which ties into
do that again someday. But I'm saying in the meantime...
Yeah, it'd be kind of... I guess that's a cool idea. I mean, you know, they got like the voice actors to come back in and do stuff. And I mean, it was just a really good case and it was, you know, pretty solid. I don't know, probably like 4 hours to go through it, if more. Like I said, it was kind of a little goofier. It's not like as goofy as things. It's not like the killer whale's in court, you know.
Oh, it's not.
Well, you video conference him.
I thought maybe they put like a tank in the. I thought they might have been.
Well, I don't want you to. It is still pretty goofy.
I know,
but I really like that game, and it keeps. I was trying to explain it to you before, and it's hard to explain, but it does this thing like. Towards the end of every trial, like, you know, it's, like, very... The trial's always in waves where, like, it seems you have, like, the upside, and there's, like, this new contradiction. You have to fight your way.
Yeah.
Like, at the end, like, right when you think you finally got... There's always, like, this one last big contradiction. And, like, what they do, and they didn't do this in the other ones, is, like, the character will, like, sit there and, like, really think, and, like, it'll get, like, the presentation will get, like, kind of, like, slow-mo, and, like, it's, like, things are zooming by, and, like, all his thoughts are floating like around.
Beautiful Mind style. Yeah.
I never saw a Beautiful Mind, okay. Actually. But it's, like, and it's, like, and you know, it'll do,
Da
like...
Vinci Code.
And it's still a game, so it'll be, like, okay, so... So this is this. Why is it? And it'll give you like three choices. You have to like pick the right one. And like, and you're like, it's like a kind of like a train of thought until you come to like the big realization of
you're
the
like,
case.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
the monkey was a gorilla all along.
Yeah, it's like it really is. And it's like it's just kind of neat the way they do it. Just like I say, kind of to see it, but the presentation of it is really neat.
Well, I just found out there was a demo put out. Oh, yeah? I hope it's just like the first case. So at least
very try likely. That. yeah, I really like that Phoenix Wright game. And I mean, as far as the, I mean, you know, I'm not a big DLC guy.
I know, that's odd too. You usually hate DLC.
Yeah, because like I said, usually once the story's done, I'm like, you're whatever. Just kinda done. But I mean, this lends itself to it because right. it's, you know, it's a case. Yeah. It makes sense. It's episodic in nature already, and it was very, very well put together. It was one of the better Phoenix Wright cases I played. So cool. That was fun. Well, by the way, real quick, we've kind of got to say, like the point I'm making earlier, what won Game of the Year at VGX?
Oh yeah, Grand Theft Auto V.
Yeah, which I mean, what are we going to talk about? All right, I'm glad I brought that up.
Well, what certainly didn't deserve to win Game of the Year is Sonic Lost Worlds on the 3DS.
Now, some people say this one's better than the console one, because everyone likes Dimps, right? That's who makes this? You're making a face.
Yeah, did they? Okay.
I will say, like, I did not really like their 3DS Sonic Generations game a whole lot.
No, and from what I've played of the Wii U version and I've played of this, they're pretty close to the same thing. Same controls and everything, yeah. It's that fucking Sonic cycle that we always say isn't going to happen this time. It's happened again.
What did Apple Generations? Well,
yeah, Generations kind of broke it. But, like, you know, with Sonic Colors and Sonic Heroes, all of them. The first, like, three levels you play, you're like, hey, they're onto something here. And then they got to go fuck with it. This game happened when I got the first color power, which was Asteroid. Yeah,
those are color powers, man.
So you become this, like, slow-moving, floaty, controlling blob that just is basically invulnerable. And the thing that drove me up a wall was every time you go to turn, it's not like in a video game where you just stop and pivot and turn around. It would, like, swing you wide, yeah, like you were a semi-trailer. I know
what you're talking about.
And I kept just falling off the edges of cliffs because I tried to, like, turn around and he would just turn to the edge and fall off.
Now, did this, like, have, like, a story similar to...
It's the same exact CG cutscenes, just down-res to the 3DS.
Ew.
Not even in 3D.
Ew. Really? Ew.
Yeah, like, I don't know, there was the one point where Robotnik was, like, held up some glowy thing, and the Deadly Six were like, oh! Is this sounding familiar?
Deadly Six are stupid.
Yeah.
But, like, a worse Ginyu Force.
Yeah, and then same thing...
Do you know what the Ginyu Force is?
Is that the Dragon Ball
Z? Yeah. They never watched Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it's the dumb things, like the boss's mouth's not moving when they're talking to you, and...
Yeah, but, I mean, like I said, with the Wii U, it sounds like you have a lot of same place, like, with the Wii U version.
And I could appreciate what they were trying to do, like, having, like, the run button be a button. But there's very little incentive to actually run in the game. It's just, you just have less control. Very rarely is there a reason you need to be going faster.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like there's some good ideas that they can maybe implement to make a good Sonic game.
Yeah, take the first world and just make six more of those.
Because when I played it on Wii U, yeah, like I played like that first couple worlds, like, oh my god, this is better than Sonic Generations. Then, like, the more I play, it's just like, ugh.
Well, yeah, because they keep adding stuff that you don't need.
It was just, like, bad level design to play it, too. At least the one I mean, it just got... Especially the last level. Like, I actually, like... It took me a lot of tries to beat it. Although, I guess they just updated the Wii U version so that getting 100 coins finally gives you a 1-up.
Oh, what do you know?
And, like, when you get a game over, you get 10 lives instead of 5, which actually... It's a nice thing to do, a little, you know, better later than ever.
I still understand why they can't just make a Sonic game. Speaking of, I also played the original Sonic the Hedgehog in 3D.
See, it's like the thing I see, like, oh, I want to buy that for $5. But then when you do, you have Sonic the Hedgehog.
I kind of had immediate buyer's remorse. I mean, I feel better about it because Best Buy had, like, 20% off all Nintendo points cards, so I just bought a $20 one for the hell of it.
I mean, it's a great game, but, I mean, how many times do we have to own it?
Yeah, I played through, like, the first two acts, and I was like, all right.
I mean, I already have that Sega Genesis collection on Xbox 360.
Now, what's nice about it is I wish, like, more 3DS games did this. There are extensive options on how to customize your 3D viewing experience.
Mm-hmm.
They give you the option if you want everything to, like, pop into the screen or pop out of the screen.
Ooh, I picked pop out.
You would think. It hurt my eyes a little bit. Usually I like that because everything popped out. Like, the furthest back layer was the flat.
Mm-hmm.
So now that Sonic is the front layer, so you're kind of like playing cross-eyed
because
he's so far forward. But it had another cool thing, I thought, where you could choose to play it so it simulates an old CRT screen. And what I mean is the game itself is 2D, but it's mapped to like a 3D bubble, so to speak.
That's kind of interesting.
It was very interesting. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, because like, people are saying very nice things about like the port.
Yeah, and so
that's
like,
kind of like why I want it.
And yeah, like they did all these. They did Altered Beast and Super Hang On and Space Harrier. the thing is, like, they all have, like, video previews in the eShop, but they weren't 3D.
No.
And I know why. Because you're getting this just to see, like, oh, what does this look like in 3D? Once you kind of seen it,
right,
you're like, I get it.
Has anybody had fun playing Altered Beast in the last 20 years?
I always kind of liked Altered Beast.
You know what? Altered Beast is weird. Like, I'm like, why am I not just playing Golden Axe or something all better? Right, or Streets of Rage.
Turn into a beast.
Yeah. Power up.
Did you see they're bringing... they're doing an enhanced version of Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
I was about to ask you about
for
that,
iOS yeah. and Android. So it's the same guy who did Sonic the Sonic CD port and the updated better. Sonic 1.
You know what's interesting about it is that they're like re-adding in that hidden palace zone.
Yeah, that was like never finished and it was still kind of hidden in the cartridge.
Oh, by the way, can't you do the spin dash optionally? You can turn that on for the 3DS Sonic 1.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to do that.
That's pretty much the case in every Sonic the Hedgehog 1 release.
Yeah, I don't know why. They're like, we have to port the freaking thing. It's not like a...
That's what the kids do, man.
People, like, add the charge shot to Mega Man 2. Look, it's not designed for that.
Mm.
I
feel like... Oh, just real quick, in Forza 5, I've graduated to manual transmission.
Mm. Well, you got Peggle, too.
Remember? Oh, yeah, I was going to get to that.
I don't care about how much better you're getting at Forza. I know you got the McLaren, you're excited.
I am. Well, no, it's just fine, because like that first race where you're doing manual, you're just like, I feel like that dog on the internet, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Like your hand motions of driving a car.
Yes. But yeah, Peggle 2, which is what I was going to end up with. It's Peggle.
Right. I mean, that's the point I was always making.
Yes.
When everybody was excited about it, I'm like,
It's a very fun rendition of Peggle, made so by just the presentation.
Oh, I get it.
They've shifted the art style to be a little more Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
But not extremely so. Just slightly so.
Well, yeah, and the other one, the art style was almost kind of cheap looking. Like cheap
fantasy. It looked like clip art.
Yeah.
This doesn't look like clip art anymore. Really good sound design in the game, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool because there's 5 Peggle Masters. Each master gets their own "You Beat the Level" music,
right?
So the unicorn still plays "Ode to Joy," but then the rest all get something else.
Is it all like similar kind of?
Yeah, well,
is it new compositions?
I'll tell you what the second guy, Jeffrey, his is "William Tell Overture."
Okay,
so you hit that. That's fun, and like that character, he's a troll with 2 goats on his back. His name's Jeffrey, and he just quotes the Big Lebowski.
Right, that's funny,
hilarious. Yeah. They did announce they're going to release free DLC to add a local multiplayer mode. And there is some kind of online multiplayer mode now. I haven't tried those yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you'd be surprised how fun it is, like, pull off a really cool shot and then record it. Mm-hmm. Be like, I could show people this now.
Yeah, that's true.
Look what I did.
It's a sharing aspect of it, isn't it nice?
Yeah.
All right.
It's Peggle. I like it.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
I guess that'll be it for the show, unless there's something else you want to talk about.
Spoons,
okay. Well, we won't talk about that. So, hopefully in about a week or 2, we'll start getting some of the end-of-the-year stuff here.
What else is coming? Is there anything else, like, coming this year?
No, yeah.
I feel like Peggle 2 is, like, the last release.
That's gotta be it, but who knows? Somebody will correct me. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Also follow us at Twitter, at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Facebook, facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Go to our Google Plus community and join our conversations there. Be sure to go to iTunes Music Store, leave us a review. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.